الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you. And your Quran is the final revelation sent to mankind from Allah, from Almighty God, like He sent down the Bible and also the Torah and different other things for people to follow and be guided by. And the Quran is the last revelation and the last chance for mankind to get on the right path towards Allah. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic or subject that we're going to discuss, that this is a class where you learn, hopefully you will learn something more, a little more about Islam. And so in this particular class, the topic for the day will be on some prohibited actions that of a Muslim, that things that we are not supposed to do. First of all, let's start off with, and that is mentioned that the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, he said, "He who believes in Allah in the last day must either speak good or remain silent." And so it encouraged us to only say what is good and what is right and what is nice, and not to just say bad things or evil things to people. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he only said a few words, but it was dynamic in the words, few words that he said. So we have to follow suit. We don't talk and just don't let anyone else to talk. It's supposed to be a conversation, but it becomes a monologue instead of a dialogue. Just one person talking and the other person just listening. It's like a lecture only. You just listen to the lecture and asking no questions. And so here it says, those people, he who believes in Allah in the last day must either speak good or remain quiet. Another thing that he advises about is a prohibited action of the Muslim. He said this, "Whosoever gives me a guarantee to safeguard what is between his jaws, his mouth, or what is between his legs, or his private area, I shall guarantee him Jannah, or paradise." Because we got to be very careful what we say out of our mouths, and also be very careful what we do with our private areas. Some use their private area for lawful things, or some may commit zina or fornication or that, those kind of things, which are all unlawful. There's no having sexual intercourse outside of marriage. It's not allowed in Islam. If you've done it already, you ask Allah to forgive you for that, and don't return back to it. And know that Allah, He sees everything that we do and knows everything that we say. So we're not sneaking or doing things in a place where Allah, in the middle of a woods or a jungle or something, where Allah does not see what you are doing and not aware of what you are doing. There's no escaping the eyes of Allah. So let me move on about, we talk about things that are actions that are prohibited in Islam. Also, one of the companions, Abu Hurairah, he said, "I heard a prophet, may peace be upon him, saying, a person utters a word thoughtlessly, meaning without thinking about what is being said, whether it being good or being bad. And as a result of this, he will fall down into the fire of hell, deeper than the distance between the east and the west. So a person utters words thoughtlessly, no thinking, and what he said out of his mouth, not good, as I said earlier about saying good or keeping quiet, then this individual may result in going to the hellfire, very deep into the hellfire, between the distance of the east and the west. And wherever you are in the world, you have an east and you have a west. You have a north and you have a south. But the thing is, when you talk about saying thoughtless things to people, then we're talking about a person being put into the hellfire for saying these things. Deeper than the distance, deeper than the distance between the east and the west. And so no one wants to be in that position where they say all these bad things about an individual or speak wrong about an individual, and they're thinking, okay, I'm getting away with it. People like what I'm saying. Whatever pride you get out of saying what you're saying, are these bad things that you're saying to an individual, you're only hurting yourself and you're only hurting your own soul. And as it said, that the person will be deep into the fire of hell at the distance. The distance that is a distance between the east and the west. So let me move on about another thing that a person can do, which is similar to what I just mentioned. A man utters a word, as it said by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. A man utters a word pleasing to Allah without considering it of any significance for which Allah exalts him, his ranks, into paradise. He said these really nice words, and Allah grants him paradise for these good things that he said, this pleasant thing that he said. He's seeking the pleasure of Allah, so he or she ends up in the paradise. And another one speaks a word displeasing to Allah without considering it of any importance, and for this reason, he will sink down into hell. So it's up to you which way you want to go. You say that thing that is good, then you end up, and pleasing Allah, you end up going into the paradise. And you listen to some of my early episodes where I talk about what is in paradise. And then if you say those things that are displeasing to Allah, and you end up going into the hellfire, and I also had an episode where I talk about hell and what happens in hell. And everything that I talk about, it is on the tip of the iceberg. It is the tip of the iceberg. It's just so minute, such a minimal amount that I'm talking about. So let me explain what I mean. It's going to talk about tip of the iceberg, because an iceberg on the top of the water, you get this like large lump of ice, like the top of a mountain, if you will. And then underneath the water is this massive, big, huge block of ice that you don't see. And so, in other words, I'm only giving you the tip in terms of the knowledge about prohibited actions, but just a tip, just a little bit. But this particular subject is so massive, and so much to it, that I don't have time to give it all. We had to spend a lot of hours in class for me to really cover everything that, when you talk about things are prohibited and actions are prohibited by Islam. But keep in mind, there are more things. This is for me. There are more things that are permissible in Islam than are prohibited. Some people, they even may prohibit something that is permissible, or make permissible something that is prohibited. But it's just a few things that we cannot do as Muslims. And there are other things that we can do as Muslims. And we shouldn't try to limit ourselves and prohibit ourselves. But Allah did not prohibit something, or Allah said give you permission to do something, and we prohibit that thing. Allah said you can't do it, but we do it. It's also mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. He said, and I asked, one man asked the Prophet, he said, how can salvation be achieved? And the Prophet replied, control your tongue, keep to your house, and weep over your sins. So I want to look at two of these, controlling a person's tongue. Again, watching what a person says, watching what you say. You may not be able to control the tongue of other people, but you can control your own tongue, because your tongue on the day of judgment is going to talk freely for you or against you. It's your choice. It's your choice to put on your tongue and to train your tongue to say only those things that are good, to say pleasant things, or don't say anything at all. And so we have to train our tongue, which we have control over, to say those things which are good. And also, it mentions about, and also for as far as achieving salvation, we also talk about weep over our sins. We are sinners. We commit sins, large ones, small ones, those we know about, those we don't know about, maybe some we don't even remember that we did. But we are sinners. We just have to ask. It may be large sins, it might be small sins, sins that we don't even realize. Oh man, this is a sin. I should not be doing this thing. And so we should weep over those things and ask Allah to forgive us over and over again. Back to a time where we won't be able to ask Allah for anything. It'll be too late. Our book is closed, and we're standing before Allah, naked and uncircumcised, and going to be judged for what we did or what we said. And so we should cry and ask Allah, oh Allah, forgive me. I know I did this wrong thing. Please forgive me for the wrong that I've done, and give me the strength not to do it again. Please, Allah, give me the strength not to do it again. Also, those people that you know, if you can talk to them about not sinning. Talk to them about having more control over their tongues. Or through your action, you showing the people how they should act. And in a particular situation, I get to cussing later on, not cussing or using bad words towards other people, being kind towards other people, being gentle towards other people, showing kindness towards other people, and not doing the prohibited actions that I talk about here. And these are the actions that a Muslim should not do. And these are also the actions those who are not Muslims, you should not be doing too. These are wrong. Some of these actions are inhumane. They are hurtful. They hurt individuals. They may not hurt you, because you're the one not on the receiving end. But they're on the receiving end, and you may be hurting them. So stop it. And it's easy to do. Just stop doing it. Don't keep doing it. It's simple. So let me move on. It is also mentioned by Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. He said, when the son of Adam, that's us, we are all sons of Adam, daughters of Adam, because of the original human being was Adam and his wife, Hawa or Eve. And then from them spread many men and women, the rest of us. So our father that we have in common, which is Adam, and our mother, which is Eve. When the son of Adam gets up in the morning, all the limbs humble themselves before the tongue and says, fear Allah for our sake because we are with you. Meaning we will be rewarded or punished as a result of what you do or what you say. If you are straight, we will be straight. And if you are crooked, we become crooked. So your body part, your body saying, don't get us in trouble. It's a simple thing. Look, tongue. Don't say bad things. Humble yourself. Fear Allah. Know, have that law consciousness that you're not going to do this because you know that Allah will not be pleased with you. Are you doing things to please Allah? So Allah will be happy with you. Because you do something that is going to be harming you, or be harmful to you, is not straight and good. You get, and then what happens is you become crooked and we become crooked. But you do things that are straight and good, then you become good and we become good. We basically follow your lead, tongue. So please watch what you say. Let me mention something else along with that, with the tongue. Papa Han Pisa Panami said, "Do you know what is backbiting?" The companion said, "Allah and his messenger knows best." Or Allahu Alam. Thereupon he said, "Backbiting is talking about your Muslim brother in a manner which he dislikes. If it was said to him, 'What if my Muslim brother is as I said?' He said, 'If he is actually as you say, then that is backbiting. But if that is not him, that is slandering.' So we have to be careful. Both are wrong." And in Mr. Quran, about it mentioned that eating the flesh on the back of your brother or the back of your sister by backbiting them. Backbiting is you saying things about the person that the person is not true about the person. You're slandering the person. It is true, you're backbiting them. And even when you have three people together, then in other words, if I'm with two other people, I don't have a conversation between myself and one of those other people, leaving another person out, or whispering, or saying something in a particular language the other person don't understand, and the person may think I'm talking about them. And so we have to be very careful even about them, because the third person may think that we are backbiting this individual by us saying what we're saying between us, or laughing about something, and this person is not included in the conversation. So be very, very careful. And if it's not true about an individual, then it is slandering an individual. You're saying something about the individual that is not true. And if it's true about the individual, you are backbiting them. And so you tell people, no, I really don't want to hear it. Go tell him or her what you think about them. Don't tell me. Please don't tell me about this individual. Let them know about what they're doing. Because you don't want to witness and be witness to backbitings of someone or slandering of someone. You don't want to be part of that at all. And so let me go even deeper into this. Because the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it was a night, it was Miraj, when he went to ascend to the heaven, and also a night when he traveled through the hellfire, basically, and he saw what was going on, the punishment people receiving in the hellfire. And so let me try to give you a little bit of what he saw and what he asked about. "I saw a group of people who were scratching their chests and faces with their copper nails. I asked, 'Who are these? Are these people, O Jibril?' Jibril replied, 'These are people who ate the flesh of others by backbiting and trampled on people's honor.' And so the person who is backbiting, they're not getting away with it at all. Allah would have their tongue talk and speak. What did you say? And his tongue will freely speak. And tongue may say, 'Yeah, I bit this person, I bit that person,' whatever. And the person, okay, this is what they receive in the hellfire. This is a torment that they receive in the hellfire. And a Muslim, we believe in paradise, life after death. And also we believe in the hellfire. And both are the type life after death. You either go to paradise for doing a good deeds and obeying Allah, or you go to hellfire for doing bad deeds and disobeying Allah. And the Prophet, he saw the people who were the ones that bat-bit people, trampling the honor of people. He saw them with these copper nails. Can you imagine? You look at your nails, how long your nails may get sometimes. Like every 2 weeks or so, your nails grow, and you might cut them or something like that. I don't know what you do with your nails. That's your personal business. But just think, if you had nails extended, and then they were made of copper. And then he saw the people scratching their chests and their faces with it, with these nails, because these are the people who use the backbite other people in this world. And we certainly do not want to be amongst those people who are scratching our faces and our chests with these copper nails because we bat big people. It is also mentioned by Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, truth leads to piety, and piety leads to Jannah, meaning paradise. A man persists in speaking the truth till he is recorded with Allah as a truthful man. Falsehood leads to transgression, and transgression leads to hellfire. A man continues to speak falsehood till he is recorded with Allah as a great liar. So be careful that your person will lie and lie and lie until they are raised up as a liar. They will be kazab, a person who is a liar. We don't want to be that individual. Some people, all they do is lie. Every time they open up their mouth, a lie comes out. And then sometimes they forget what lie they told, and then they will say another lie. And then they say, because the truth is pretty consistent. No matter how many ways a person asks a question, the truth is the truth. If you ask a question years later, the truth is the truth. But if a person, either minutes later or years later, sometimes they may not remember the lie that they told, and then they end up telling you a new lie because they can't remember what they told you. It was a lie. They may say, for example, that they slipped on the step, for example, and I fell. But then you ask them later on, maybe a week or so later, about that same incident, and so they may say, well, I slipped going and getting into my car. Okay, which a big difference than slipping down the steps and slipping and getting into your car. Those are two big different things for the same incident. And so that person, they didn't remember what the truth or what the lie that they told. But the truth is, if it's true, I fell down the steps. Then no matter when you ask me, I fell. The bruises came from me falling down the steps. Not bruises came from me making up some lie to cover up whatever bruises that are on my body. I will get into details because that's a whole nother lecture that I'll be getting into. But I want to move on. And so understand that don't be a person who is a liar and known to be a liar where people don't want to even talk to you because they're for fear that you're going to lie and you become more and more untrustworthy. And I want to also, for you all to keep in line, that when the Prophet Muhammad's companion, Abu Huraira, he said, a messenger of Allah and peace be upon him, he said, it does not befit, meaning a righteous Muslim, to frequently curse others. Because some people, every time you look around, they're using bad language or bad words. No matter what language that you speak, I don't care what language you speak, you have certain words in your language that are considered bad words, disrespectful words. And so in English you have certain words, and in Arabic you have certain words, so in whatever it is, French, whatever, you have words to let people know, I don't like what you said, and I'm going to cuss you out. And so here, a righteous Muslim is not one that cusses out or frequently cusses people out. This is not something that we do. And so if that's what you are doing, say as a Muslim, then you need to stop doing it. And even as a non-Muslim, this is really, you also need to stop doing that same thing and cussing out people. And that's a most inappropriate language that you use towards people because, well, for one thing, let me explain to you, because sometimes, and not only doing it for this reason, but you cussing, don't realize who's around you. And children pick that up. And next thing you know, they're cussing at each other. Or something happens to them, they see how you react to something happening, you spill something, and so they're going to react in the same manner. And you all know exactly what I'm talking about. They pick it up. If you go to the store, you buy something, and then you throw the wrapper on the ground, that's the same thing, the behavior that the child's going to do. They're also going to throw the wrapper from whatever they, candy bar, whatever they're eating, they're going to throw it on the ground instead of put it in the trash can. They watch you and watch what you're doing. I remember one time that I was with a child. I'll say this real quick. A child was with me, and we were waiting for something, and so I was writing a report, and so I was typing and wasn't looking at the keyboard, and so the child was looking at me, and he was really amazed that I was not looking at the keyboard while I was typing at the computer, and he said, you're not even looking at the keyboard. Oh, he pointed towards the keyboard. You're not even looking at that. I said, no, I don't have to look at that when I'm typing. And I didn't even realize the child was watching what I was doing. And so be very, very careful because our children are watching what we're doing or what we're saying. So be very careful of that, of what you're saying and what you're doing, because they pick it up and they may think it's appropriate behavior and say or do the same thing. And that's the same thing with cussing, is that they may pick it up and sooner or later, more than likely, they will start cussing at you too. Let me move on. It's also mentioned in the same vein, same thing, that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, a true believer is not involved in taunting or frequently cussing others or indecency or abusing. That's not something that we do. We don't abuse people. We don't show indecency. We don't taunt people. And also we don't cuss at each other. As a Muslim, this is not something that we are supposed to do. And if you're doing it, stop doing it. As long as you have breath in your body, you have an opportunity to stop doing that type of behavior. And you say, I've always done this, that kind of thing. And that doesn't mean you always have to continue to do it. You can stop doing the activity that you're doing, which is cussing out of others. Another thing that we cannot do as Muslims, and that is, Muhammad, he said, do not harbor grudge against one another, nor jealousy, nor enmity, and do not show your backs to one another, and become as fellow Muslims and slaves of Allah. It is not lawful for a Muslim to avoid speaking with his brother beyond 3 days. Some say 3 nights. And so here, I want you all to understand is that we are not to hold a grudge against each other. And not when I see my brother or my mad at him, I turn my face one way, he turns the face another way. Matter of fact, and be mad at those, and we can't go beyond 3 days. That's it. I can't be mad at my brother or mad at my sister or them towards me beyond 3 days. Because there's only a limit. Okay, you only have 3 days, and you can do it shorter than that. Okay, then do it shorter. So I just want to mention some things to you all, some of the things that we cannot do. And so we can't harbor a grudge between ourselves and anyone, really, not just our brother or our sister. And so I just want to mention this to my students. And we do not cheat people. This is something that Muslims that we don't do, and we also be aware about envy, because envy consumes or destroys the virtue, just as fire consumes firewood. So we should not also be envious of another person, jealous of another person, because it will consume, it could consume our virtue, our values, whatever that we have, and like the firewood is consumed by fire. And so, my beautiful students, please understand these are things, some of the things that are prohibited in Islam for a Muslim woman or Muslim man to do. To find out more about Islam and learn more about Islamic faith or increase your knowledge of Islam, you go to Why Islam, you go to International Online University, American Open University, and also you can also go to muslimnetwork.tv and find out more information about Islam and learn about what Muslims are doing, the positive things Muslims are doing. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.